It's good to be together.
Amen.
It's always a joy to come together and spend time looking at God's Word together and striving to grow in the Lord. You know, we come to praise God. We come to give worship to Him. Whether it's in Bible study, we want to praise Him by our gaining a knowledge of what He has to say. Or whether it's in worship, where we come together to give Him glory in the way that He is prescribed and on the first day of the week. It is an opportunity to grow in the Lord. And the fellowship and the bond that we have as we do this is a very important thing. And it's very essential for the Christian life. God commanded the assembly. It's not optional. It's something that He says you need to be in the assembly. And He does that for us, not because He needs it, but because we need it. And so we need to keep that in mind as we strive to go forward. We have come to a day where our nation has dubbed it Father's Day. Father's Day has always been a more difficult one for me because I'm a father. But as I have spent time looking at this and contemplating, how do you do this? You know, there's so much information in the New Testament and in the Bible that speaks of fathers and the responsibilities that we have. You know, as a father, I think of the responsibility as a leader in the home. I know that the wife and the mother is so crucial to the future and the blessings in the home. But so is the father. Fathers can make a home a great place or a terrible place. And we've got a world in which we live where we've got a lot of struggles with that. Men have not learned to be proper fathers, just as in our society, many women have not learned how to be proper mothers. And it goes back to a lack of going back to the Bible. Now, one of the things that I think is so easy for you and I to do as we think about our role in life, whether it be as a father or as a mother or an employee or employer or whatever, we have a tendency to look around us. And we compare ourselves with others that are in the same boat that we are. Well, I want to go to a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 as we begin this. And I want to start there this morning. Now, this passage is not in the outline, but I believe it is a very important one for us to consider as we think about our role as a father, or our role as a spiritual individual, or our role in anything that we do. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Well, put into plain English, we can look around and find somebody else doing the same thing that we are that's doing a miserable job, and we can say, I'm better than they are. That don't mean a whole lot, does it? And that's what God's saying, okay? It doesn't matter what your neighbor is doing. It doesn't matter what your enemy is doing and how bad of a job they are. But what really matters is, guys, we need, as fathers, to compare ourselves with the perfect Father. When we do that, we're going to recognize that we have a long ways to go. Instead of being satisfied that we have arrived and we are doing what we should, we're going to see the challenge of how far we have to go. We'll also have that perfect example of exactly what we should be when we look at our Heavenly Father and we compare our actions and our attitudes and our words with our Heavenly Father's. Guys, as fathers, let's keep something in mind. Fathers, grandfathers, soon to be, it doesn't matter, okay? We must keep in mind that we need to keep our eyes on the Heavenly Father. You know, you can look at me and see plenty of mistakes. You can look at somebody else and see plenty of mistakes, but you won't see them in God. Now, young ladies, listen. When you're looking for a man to be your husband, don't compare him with the neighbor. Compare them with God, your heavenly Father. And therein, you will have a whole lot better situation. Is that clear? Does that make sense? All right. So always look at your heavenly Father and not at those things that are around you. The word, the passage that we read just a few minutes ago is talking about a perfect Father in heaven who gives His children good things. And we try to do that as fathers. And we try to give our children the good things that they need. Now, sometimes the good things they need, they might not necessarily want. And our Father is that way in heaven. He's wise and He knows what we really need and what we don't. It's kind of like we can look in our children and we can recognize that there's some things that they need that they really don't want. Sometimes it's discipline. And so, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that chastens him promptly loves him. And so, that's Proverbs 13:24, and I quoted it backwards. It's a pretty important passage. And so the good things we give them, whether it's discipline, whether it's things, whether it's necessities in life, we give our children. Our Father showed us that example. So we're going to look at five different categories today. And one is our Father in heaven was a protector and is continuing to be a protector of His children. Our Father in heaven gives fellowship with His children. Such a essential aspect of fatherhood. Our Father in heaven has great wisdom that we are allowed to tie into. And as fathers, we need to make sure that we know God's Word, that we put it into practice and we recognize it and we put it into action in wisdom. And we need to impart that to our children. Our Father in heaven gives counsel. You know, sometimes it's always hard to instruct children in the proper way that they should go. But our Father in heaven gives us counsel. And He's shown us that as fathers in this world, in this life, we must give counsel to our children. And our Father in heaven is good. Not in man's eyes, but in God's eyes. Truly and rightly so. And as fathers on this earth, we need to be good people. And so as we begin, we'll go back to the protector aspect. And I want to turn first to Psalm 125 and verse 2. Psalm 125 and verse 2. Now, we need to recognize what God's protection encompasses. Okay, I'm out of tune here. I'll get with the program here in a minute. Psalm 125 and verse 2. It says in that, well, and I want to go back and I want to read more of this context. It says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. For as such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel." As we look at this, we have the psalmist that's using Jerusalem as an illustration of how God protects. And as fathers, we need to be protectors of our family, don't we? That's a big responsibility. We protect them from evil. We protect them from going the wrong direction. And just as that geography around Jerusalem was a major protection for that city, we need to recognize that God is a major protector for you and I. And I'm glad that He is. We live in a world where fathers aren't trying to protect their children. We live in a world where there's a lot of problems and a lot of confusions, and fathers not only are not protecting their children, but they're creating a lot of harm for their children. God shows us that He protects. And He shows us also that He protects forever. His protection does not end. Now that's pretty interesting, because I don't have to worry about God leaving tomorrow. You know, it's kind of sad in this world. We've got a lot of children and they don't know if Daddy's going to be around. They don't know if He's going to stick around and be there, and so there's a lot of insecurity. We've got a God that has given us a secure guarantee that He won't leave. We need homes in this nation where our children can be rest assured that their parents aren't going to be split up tomorrow. You know, I remember in Jamesport, I don't know, but there was one other couple that had been together through their children's entire life. I remember several of the classes that I looked at in Jamesport, and I know those are small classes. We need to stick it out. Guys, stick out what you got. Hang in there. Young people, when you go into marriage, I want you to determine one thing, that it's forever and it's going to last. You're going to stick it out and you're going to be wise as you make that choice. You know, we've got a lot of problems that happen around us, and we can't always guarantee what our partner is going to do. But if we look at that individual, and as I mentioned, admonish the young ladies, you look at that young man that you're going to marry and you're going to ask, are they like God? Because He's the one you need to be comparing Him to. And so that is something that is very important. God protects us. In Psalm chapter 91 and verse 4, we see another recognition there of the protection of God. And in this context, he's talking about it as being a cover. In Psalm chapter 91 and verse 4, the psalmist says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The picture here is of the banny hen. You ever watched a banny hen with a brood of chicks? You know, when something comes around that the mother is a little concerned about, you know, those chicks all gather under there, and the banny hen spreads her wings to cover all those chicks and protects them. And I tell you what, those banny hens can be pretty nasty. You ever tangled with one when she's got a brood of chicks? Well, I'll tell you what, that's the picture of God. God is a protector of His. He covers us and protects us from the danger that's around there. I'm glad that we have a God, a Father in heaven, that does that. You know, I know as we, as fathers, provide for our children, we want to protect them. We're concerned about what's going to happen with them, about whether or not they're going to go the right direction. Are they going to get hurt? You know, I can remember the times that my children got hurt, and I felt, you know, it's like such a failure because I wasn't able to protect them from those dangers. God covers us, guys. And He protects us. Young men, you're going to be fathers one of these days. You've got to recognize the responsibility that you have for your children. You need to cover them and give them the protection that God, our Father in heaven, has showed us that He does. And He does that. And He's done that throughout the ages. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 20, we see God protecting His special people, Israel, when they were coming out of the land of Egypt and the things that He did for them. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 20. The passage says, and it came between this cloud, this pillar of cloud went before them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, and it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And this is when they were about to cross over this Red Sea. And God came between Israel. And on the Egyptian side, it was all dark and they couldn't go anywhere. But on the Israelite side, it was light so that they were able to cross across the Red Sea in peace and safety. And we need to recognize that, because that is a picture of what God does for His. And guys, it's a picture of what
we as fathers need to do for our children and our family. We are to be a protector. We are to give them all that we've got. We've got to be willing to make the sacrifices for them. You know, that banny hen will fight to the death to save her chicks. We need to be that kind of father. To do everything that we can to cover and protect our children. We need to protect them from the dangers that lurk around there and the bad influences and the bad company. We need to protect them from the dangers that come. And I know that, I was always trying to teach my kids safety. And we dealt with that on a regular basis from getting hurt physically. With my children ran equipment. And so I was always there. I was always teaching them and telling them and reminding them of what not to do and what to do. And I was scared to death when they were doing it. But we need to offer that wisdom and that counsel to our children and be that protector. When Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, we see our response to our Father's great protection. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, and I think the problem in this is not him, but it's you or I. I want us to notice as we read this passage, in Hebrews 13 and 6 it says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now, in the real world, we have a tendency to be weak in faith sometimes, don't we? We have a challenge. You know, there's no reason whatsoever for us to fear whether or not our perfect Father in heaven is going to take care of us and help us. But we do, because we're weak. But I like to think of the picture of the child, that the father will tell the child to jump, and the child will jump into his arms, never having a fear whatsoever that the father is going to step out of the way and let him fall to the ground. Stop and think about that for just a minute. We don't need to fear whether God will do that. We know that God is going to be there to catch us and help us through the struggles and the difficult times of life. Now, fathers, we need to make sure that we try to instill in our children the knowledge that we will help, that we will be there for them, that we will protect them. Now, back in that Psalm chapter 125, the last one, it talks about the fact that some of them don't follow him. They turn from him. And that protection is no longer afforded them. We need to stick with God. And young people, follow the direction of your father. You will learn when you get in our shoes that it ain't easy. As fathers, we're struggling with providing a living, taking care of a home, raising children, and doing all of the things that are involved in that. It's a challenge. And so, young people, look to your fathers for protection. Trust them. Always compare them with God and see if they're following that perfect father. And that's where all of us fathers have a tendency to hang our head sometimes, because we need to do better. And there's where I learned a lot from my children. And I appreciate it. I didn't really like it at the time, but I always knew that I needed to do a better job. Our Father in heaven gives fellowship. Fellowship involves a deep and a mutual sharing. We live in homes where there's just absentee parents. The kids don't ever see their parents. And I know that some jobs make that a struggle. You know, I've seen the struggles that come about because of that. And some of the jobs that we have, they're quite challenging. They keep us away from home.
But we have a perfect Father who gives us the perfect fellowship and is always there for us.
I want to go to this passage in Matthew chapter 18, and I want to notice a concept there. I don't want to bring it out of its context, but I want to notice a concept in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. And it tells us a lot about God and His care for His people and the fellowship that He gives. It says in that passage, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." God's presence. Now that's not talking about a worship setting. It's talking about a discipline setting. But the fact of the matter is, we are also gathered together in His name, are we not? God's here. Now, let me give you a little something that you can be assured of. When you're by yourself, God's still going to be there. Okay? God is not going to leave you. God will not desert you. He will be there and He will give that fellowship. God hangs around. I know there's a lot of times we may feel lonely and we feel like, you know, we just don't have what it takes. We just are all by ourselves. But it doesn't matter what's going on. God is there. We have challenges, don't we? You know one thing I like about being a Christian? I can go and talk to God anytime. I can go back in my mind over some of the things that He says for me to do. I can ask God for direction and guidance in whatever situation is coming up because I know He's there and I know He hears me. Now, quite frankly, as fathers, we are not like God. We can't be everywhere all at once. And we would like to do that. You know, it's a challenge being away from home and you know, we get that call and you know, this is the problem. You know, every time I was in Jamaica, there was always some kind of catastrophe. Rachel totaled out a car once and something happened every time I was gone. And so I wasn't there. I couldn't do anything about it. But in presence, you know, I'd get a phone call and what do we do and how do we deal with this? And we worked it all out. We've got a proper father that fellowships. We need to follow His example, and we need to be there as much as we can. We've got so many today that don't even care. Our society is that way. And we need to be the kind that hangs around. I want to go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. And I want to recognize that our fellowship with our Father in heaven involves our fellowship with one another. And so in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, John is writing about his relationship to God and what they had seen and heard. And he makes this statement. He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we to you," watch this, "that you also may have fellowship with us," in other words, with the apostles, "and truly our fellowship," the apostles, "is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." What I want us to notice here is our fellowship with God involves our fellowship with the family of God. We can't separate the two. In fact, God has designed it so that fellowship is a very integral part of the relationship that we have with God. If we want to have that fellowship with God, we need that fellowship with one another as well. The times that we have together are encouraging and strengthening, and we can count on one another. And if we've got others that have and share the same goals and the same guidance that God gives, it's going to be nice to have that fellowship. You know, when we find fellowship, we have a knowledge of security. A knowledge of knowing that somebody is there. See, God gives that fellowship, and this is a sharing. A sharing. You know, remember that saying? A family that prays together stays together. We've all heard it, haven't we? I don't know that I did that as I should. We always prayed at meals. I struggled with some of that. But I think we need to be prayerful. I think we need to pray together as a family. Fathers, lead your family's minds in prayer. Your children need to show your fellowship with God. They need to see that in you. You and I, as fathers, need to be spiritual leaders. Young men, I want you to think about this, because you're coming to this problem. This is going to be your issue in time. And you're going to have to be the one that's going to have to be man enough to stand forward and pray with your family. That's not the way a man is, because we're supposed to be big and tough and not rely on anything and be able to handle it all. But that ain't true. That's just the nonsense that we get out of this macho image. It takes a real man to recognize and acknowledge that you're not strong enough to do with it on your own. Make sure that you lead your family in fellowship with God. And learn to do it now. Because the problem is, the older you get, the less chance that you'll ever change. Yeah, you might. It happens. But the opportunity and the possibility becomes a whole lot less likely. We need to be like the Father. We need to have that fellowship, and we need to be in communication with God. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, just back a couple pages, it says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw nigher to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We need to recognize that God's fellowship is conditional. Now, He's a perfect Father. I'm not sure how to relate that. I've got a son that doesn't want to listen to God. And it grieves me every day. And I don't know what to do. All I know is that in Luke chapter 15, the perfect Father waited. And so I wait. I look at, what did I do? Where did I mess up? Tried to have fellowship. Tried to live as I should. I see my mistakes. A lot of them anyway. Fathers, while we have the opportunity, let's live for God. The grief that can come because of the mistakes made is not worth the ego that we keep in the process of the journey. Your ego and mine creates problems. You need to be in fellowship with God. You need to look at what He says. You need to live for Him. You need to be that spiritual leader. You need to look at the Bible to see what a spiritual leader actually is. Young men, you're going to be doing this before long. And you need to practice now. The big tough macho doesn't get you very far and very, very good in life. But a good spiritual man that'll follow God, that'll take you far. And then you won't look back with so many regrets in life. We've got a perfect Father that protects and fellowships. And we need to give it all that we've got to be like Him. I know this is a day to honor fathers. I know that it's a big job. I'm a father. My goal in life is to be better and do a better job and to help others do the same. I look out and I recognize that as fathers, we've all got things that we look at and we say, man, why'd I do that? We look at areas of our life and say, how can I change? Because change is hard. And we don't want to change because we got an ego. We got to be macho. We got to be tough. But I'm going to tell you something. A tough man gives in to God. Any wimp can act tough. But it takes a man to listen to God. Let's give it all that we've got. Let's strive to look not at those around us. Oh, don't look to the good examples or the bad. Look to our Father in heaven and watch what He has done. Look for His counsel. Look for His protection, His fellowship, His wisdom, His counsel, and the fact that He is good, and try to be like Him. Don't compare yourself with a human being. When you see good examples and bad examples, use them as a springboard to be better. Not as an example to compare ourselves by, to puff ourselves up and say, see how good I am. And that's the normal. We've got a great Father in heaven that's made great sacrifices for us. And He started by making us and making a wonderful world for us to live in. He set the example of being a proper father by making great sacrifices for His children. He sent Jesus. None of us, no matter how much we struggle with our child, would send them willingly to die on the cross for people that didn't love them. But God did. God did. You see, we've got a perfect example to follow. But sometimes it's hard to follow it. As we close, I want us to recognize, guys, that God's done this for us because He wants us to follow Him. He's given us a way through Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, and the plan that He gives us. And it's so simple. You know, you read and study and gain a faith in Romans 10:17. And you can't please Him without it. Got to have it. Reading and studying teaches you you're not doing things, or you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, one way or the other. Anyway, you need to change. And that's where repentance. And God commands all men everywhere to repent. That means if you don't change, you're in trouble. You'll be lost. We recognize that we must confess that Christ is the Son of God in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 and Romans chapter 9 or 10 and verse 10. And we recognize that that means that if He's your Lord, if He is the Son of God, you have to listen to Him. None of us want to be told what to do. But when we say that He is and confess it, we're saying that He's got the right to tell us what to do. But then He also tells us that we must be baptized for the remission of sins. We talked about the one baptism in the class this morning. And I know there's a lot of baptisms out there, but there's only one that's accepted of God. And that's the one that He reads and we read about in the pages of the New Testament. But then He also talks about being faithful. Have you done what God has told us? The counsel of a good father, a perfect father for His children. Have you taken advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life? If you haven't done those things, you haven't taken advantage of it. That means you're lost. If you have done those things, are you living according to His counsel? You following His will? Or is it like that song, I did it my way? My way. Your way and mine's not going to get it. It's God's. Are you right with God? If you're not, you need to change. If you need to change, you need to come forward while we stand and sing this song and turn your life around.
My hope is built on nothing less.